From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. Today we bring another in a series of studies in the book of Romans, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, the founder of Let the Bible Speak Radio Ministries. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Faith's Checkbook by the great 19th century English preacher Charles Haddon Spurgeon. Our devotional for today is entitled Never Cast Out. The text is John 6 and verse 37. Him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. Is there any instance of our Lord's casting out a coming one? If there be so, we would like to know of it. But there has been none, and there never will be. Among the lost souls in hell, there is not one that can say, I went to Jesus, and he refused me. It is not possible that you or I should be the first to whom Jesus shall break his word. Let us not entertain so dark a suspicion. Suppose we go to Jesus now about the evils of today. Of this we may be sure. He will not refuse us audience or cast us out. Those of us who have often been, and those who have never gone before, let us go together. And we shall see that he will not shut the door of his grace in the face of any one of us. This man receiveth sinners, but he repulses none. We come to him in weakness and sin, with trembling faith and small knowledge and slender hope. But he does not cast us out. We come by prayer, and that prayer broken, with confession, and that confession faulty, with praise, and that praise far short of his merits. But yet he receives us. We come diseased, polluted, worn out, and worthless, but he doth in no wise cast us out. Let us come again today to him who never casts us out.
When his strength begins, in my weakness,
you seeking to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ, but sometimes hesitant because of questions you may be asked? To assist you in your efforts at personal evangelism, Let the Bible Speak is happy to offer a DVD featuring Dr. Alan Cairns answering such questions as, why did Christ have to be God? Did God create evil? Or how do we know the Bible is the Word of God? Dr. Cairns answers these and many other questions in this DVD presentation called Q&A with Alan Cairns. In all, he responds to over 50 such concerns. We're happy to provide you free of charge this DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's words for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Or if you wish, you may write to us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day. In the Epistle to the Romans, Paul presents the fullest exposition of the gospel to be found anywhere in the New Testament. Before entering into his subject, however, Paul addresses the Roman Christians in the longest salutation to be found in any of his letters, a full 7 verses. Here he takes time to express the threefold impact the gospel of Christ has had upon his own life. As Dr. Cairns will explain, Paul viewed himself as a bondservant of Christ, his humility. He was aware of having been called to be an apostle of Christ, his honor. Then Paul said he was separated under the gospel. Here was his horizon. Now Dr. Cairns will introduce a message called A Soul Possessed by the Gospel.
Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are ye also the called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. The Lord will add his own blessing to the reading of his word for his name's sake. We will be reading these verses a few more times as we look at them and their position in regard to the general theme of the epistle. And that will give you, at least for this opening part of the epistle, a very easy way of fulfilling Martin Luther's command to Christians that they should memorize the book of Romans. And we will read this a few times. And so at least the opening section, which is easily memorizable, you will have opportunity to give your attention to and memorize it and let it percolate in your brain. Let it drip by drip get down into every part of your being. And you'll find that it will become, as it has for me, it will become for you, if not your very favorite, certainly one of your most favorite passages in the Word of God. Tonight we come back to verse 1. I knew I would have problems getting past the first verse of Romans in one message. This is a verse that I come back to again and again. I've confessed before in this pulpit that as a young preacher and then as a not so young preacher, every time I got into difficulty wondering what I should be preaching, I found that my heart and mind went automatically to the opening half of the book of the first chapter of Romans. These opening verses always fascinate me, and they always speak to me. And last week, I took the time to establish something that I think preachers overlook too much, if not completely, as they go down the opening verses of Romans. And that is that there is a vital connection between each verse and the major theme of the epistle. Remember, the theme of Romans is the gospel of Jesus Christ. A glorious and a powerful message. And it is that God hath provided a perfect righteousness for guilty sinners in Jesus Christ to be received by faith alone. This is the message for the world. Now that's the theme that Paul is dealing with right throughout this epistle from beginning to end. You can take the greeting, the salutation, the introduction, or you can go right to the very end of the book and you can look at the great practical application of it all. You can come even to the final chapter and you can see how he is giving what appears to be just a list of farewells or until we meet, that sort of thing. And in actual fact, right throughout even that part of the epistle, he is tying it all in to the great central theme of the book. And so last week, looking at verse 1, which says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, the point that I was making is this. This gospel is the gospel of God. That's the whole point. It is the one true divine apostolic gospel, and beside it there is none else. That is the emphasis in verse 1. Now you would think that since I took an hour, that's almost incredible for a short preacher such as I, but since I took that time to deal with that theme last Sabbath evening, that we could bid farewell to verse 1. But I have to say, I tried. It's not because I didn't try. The Lord knows. I went to my study. I have preparation made. I was trying to get on to the next verse. I couldn't do it. At this work long enough to know that when you can't do it, don't do it. When the Lord throws up a roadblock, then let him throw up a roadblock. I am not here to preach to a schedule of sermons. I haven't turned you out a schedule that we'll be spending so long in chapter 1. We might spend the rest of our lives in chapter 1. I have no idea. I don't know how fast we'll go or how slowly we'll go. I just hope we go. Don't get stuck. But I've learned that when the Lord slows you up, then slow up. So I come back to verse 1 this evening, because as I look at this verse, it not only links the theme to this great truth that this is the one divine and apostolic gospel, it is the gospel of God, but it opens up for us the heart of Paul the Apostle himself. And it shows us how completely the gospel of God gripped Paul's heart. To the apostle, the gospel was not just a matter of correct theology. Now, understand that I'm not denigrating or even lessening the importance of correct theology. Paul loved orthodox Bible doctrine. You could not read the epistles of the Apostle Paul without seeing that here was a heart that was steeped in true theology. There was no mind more logical. There was no mind more theological. There was no mind more replete with Bible doctrine than the mind of the Apostle Paul. Paul would have given not even the time of day to the sentimental drivel that passes for preaching in so-called Christian churches in our day and age. He had no time for that sort of thing. Read his epistles, see how he thought, see how he felt, and see how he preached. You'll see here was a man who was steeped in doctrine. But this was not a matter of philosophy to Paul. It was not just an academic thing. It was not just being able to prove a point. To Paul, this was a theology that possessed his soul. So we could turn around all the sayings that I have made about Paul and his being steeped in theology. It was not so much that Paul had got a grip of theology and doctrine and the gospel, as that theology, which is the knowledge of God, and doctrine, which is divine teaching, and the gospel of Jesus Christ, they had got a grip of Paul. That accounts for the fact that we have a wonderful salutation and introduction here in Romans. This is the longest salutation / introduction in any of Paul's epistles. The greeting alone takes 7 verses. And as I have shown you in the outline, the printed outline that I have made available to you, each one of those has a very, very important message to get across. There's no fluff here. There's no mere filling in of space and time. So when he takes 7 verses of greeting before he even gets to the introduction, some of you will be able to thank God for me and realize I'm not the longest preacher ever. And you'll understand why Eutychus fell asleep and fell out of the windowsill and killed himself as Paul was long preaching. Man, he would have made a good Free Presbyterian. But it also accounts, this gripping of Paul's soul by the gospel, it also accounts for the triple description he gives of himself in this opening verse. Notice how he describes himself, Paul, 1, a servant of Jesus Christ. 2, a called apostle and third, separated unto the gospel of God. Now, it's that triple description that Paul gives of himself that I want to examine tonight as we consider Paul as a soul possessed by the gospel. People come to have their hearts and minds possessed by many things. We have in Scripture people possessed by the devil. That's a horrendous thing to witness and to battle. I've done so, and I can tell you it's a horrendous thing. But there are others who have not fallen to that depth. And yet they are possessed with pride, with selfishness, with this worldliness, with a yearning for possessions. I think I told you the young woman married to a fairly, in fact, I would have to say a very successful businessman who knocked my door in Northern Ireland. And she was in some turmoil of heart, and she wanted me to pray for her. She didn't, this was Northern Ireland, not America, so she didn't ask for counsel. They don't go for counseling much there, though sometimes they would need to, mind you. She would need it. And she wanted me to pray for her because she was so depressed. So depressed. And I wondered what the great trauma was. Her successful husband had just built a brand new house. He had filled it with good furniture. He had bought her the latest and the greatest in all the gadgetry. And she had this great refrigerator, and beside it she had a huge freezer. And she hadn't the spare cash to fill it. Now, I'm talking about a freezer that you would get a half of a 300 or 400 pound bullock. You'd buy the half of the bullock and get it cut up, and that would not even fill your freezer. And I thought, what a miserable, miserable existence. To be so depressed that I can't buy my beef half a carcass at a time. Some so possessed with the desire for things, some so possessed with the desire for pleasure, some who must get new kicks in new ways. And this is just really a drug addiction. What a terrible thing. And I say this especially to you tonight. If you are a Christian, it's true even if you're not a Christian. But I want to address you particularly who are Christians. What a terrible thing for anybody to be possessed and gripped and owned by anyone but Christ and by anything but the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was a soul possessed by the gospel.
Been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.